Blog Talk Radio.
And good evening, everyone. This is Adam Pinkney of the AP course. Thank you for joining us this evening. I know it's Friday evening, and it actually feels like it's been forever since we've done a show. I know we did one last week with Peter May on last Tuesday, which was a lot of fun. You know, got to know him a little bit better, and it's a really good time. Hopefully we'll be bringing you more in those series soon, but this evening me and Anthony kind of wanted to go about some ongoing developments in the town, if you will, or just some issues that we thought were important to kind of bring up on their own. So we kind of are taking a little bit of backseat to selectmen specific, although we will be talking about politics in general this evening. Anthony, as usual, is late, so I'm going to buy some time here. I guess I'll give some shout-outs in the town. Looks like tickets are on sale for the Blossoms at the BB. Blossoms, as you may know, is a main staple of kind of the Chamber of Commerce with the collaboration of the library. It's a great fundraising event. It really helps out the library, supports them totally. I believe it's April 30th of this year. Yeah, April 30th of this year. It's at the library from 7 to 11. And it definitely helps, you know, the services of the library and a lot of their events that they have going on there, or just support in general. It also helps the chamber with anything that they like to do, whether that's projects that enhance anything going on with anything they have going at the particular time. Anthony is joining us in 3, 2. Anthony, are you there?
I'm here.
Excellent. You weren't that late this week. That's impressive.
No, true. It's not bad. It's not bad. Only did we start? Only 1 minute late. Two, maybe.
Yeah, about two. But it's okay. It's okay. We're not gonna really judge this week. So I know we were just texting each other about 10 minutes ago about, you know, our topics for tonight. Specifically, I think I wanted to kind of delve right into the economic development update, and specifically with last Wednesday's kind of walk with the town, if you will. I know a lot of the legislation was here. Both state reps and the state senator was here. I think the Chamber of Commerce was there, as well as Town Administrator Steve Mayo. And I believe they had someone from the Massachusetts Housing. Is that correct? Housing and Economic Development, I think is the title.
I have no idea. So I didn't actually know this happened. I know.
You have no idea what's going on.
I know. Yeah, I have absolutely no clue. I know Jay Ash came by, and I know Larry Andrews was involved because he used to be at the bank and then moved on. But what I will do is I will just throw in my random opinions here and there, because I really actually didn't follow it. I'm trying to get to WakefieldItem.com to see if it's on there, but it's not. So what happened?
So basically, I'm going to give kind of a general gist of this, and it'll hopefully kind of speak to everything that went on. And I want to, first, before I even get into it, I know Mark Sardella, sometimes he listens to the show. Appreciate everything that you've kind of put into the Daily Item. It's a really good recap and review of the actual tour that took place on Wednesday. So kudos to you, and thank you for putting it out there. So basically,
we should get him
this,
on to talk about marijuana. That would be a show. I just didn't even think about it right now. I know this is probably... that'd be great. We disagree, but it'd be a fun debate.
Basically, we would just, if we had him on to talk about that, and this is now getting spinning out of control, but if we had him on to talk about that, I would just post the phone number to the show in the community group, and we would just let people ramble off at him for 30 seconds at a time. That's all that would go on.
We could talk to him about. He would be fun. He's one of my favorite conservatives. I mean, I disagree with him on a lot, but he's a good guy.
He is a good guy. Like I was saying, thank you for your good write ups that you've had in the paper the past 2 days. So essentially, what went on Wednesday late afternoonish? They had a economic development almost tour of the town with Jay Ash. And essentially what happened is they toured different areas of the downtown Main Street section. So I believe they started by kind of looking at the library and where the YMCA used to be, now Artichokes, looking on through the Rockery and kind of that area. And one of the things that I know Mark had kind of spoken to that Jay was mentioning in there, that, you know, the town for needs that it has, it's definitely not hurting in any shape or form in regards to there's a lot of things that have been renovated recently, things that have been taken care of to make the town an attractive place for businesses to come in a place that it could have a potential to be a great shopping destination. So I think that that's something that is kind of misinformed on the end of a lot of people that view the town as either unviable or just empty storefronts, which I don't think is necessarily always the case. I know we complain that we can do better, and I think it's a kind of a just complaint, but I think there are things in process and things that we have done that have helped. I know as they toured, a lot of the things that were kind of spoken to that we've done already currently that have really helped out the town is strengthening the current Chamber of Commerce, that they've been doing great with the current legislation and with the town administrator, Steve Mayo, really working together hand in hand to kind of coordinate different civic ideas. The event planning committee, which has been going on now for 7+ years, which is huge to the downtown. That's only grown year over year. And we've spoken about this on the show, how it's just helped create tons of customers and revenue for different businesses in the downtown area when it shut down. Obviously, the Main Streets program, now that we're kind of filtered into that as a town, that's going to definitely help, you know, kind of filter what we're looking for as a downtown area. So there's things in place, and Mark kind of spoke to a lot more things that were in there that I know Steve addressed that evening. But one of the things that was on there as well was kind of the parking that's gone on, or lack of parking, if you will, which is something that I'd like to bring up in more in a further episode as maybe a follow-up, because I don't want to go fully in detail. But essentially that, yes, downtown parking right in front of stores isn't the best, but I think that my personal take is I think for a long enough time people have hammered that in that I don't think that people look at alternatives as to where we can park and how we can kind of move forward to get people out of the stigma of no parking whatsoever. But that's just kind of my take. Getting back to the actual recap itself, it was very interesting, and I think there's a lot of good things that are coming down the road. And I think where we are right now from what I've read is that we're a healthy community in regards to having businesses and supporting businesses. And, you know, the future is very bright for Wakefield. It's pretty much everything that I've read and what it looks like to me.
No, I agree. I think actually, I just read the article on WakefieldItem.com, so I'll give them a plug. You know, I think what Jay Ash said that actually is something we've talked about a lot is the need to build market-rate housing, which he said in turn tends to attract restaurants, which then attract other retail activity. You know, I couldn't agree more, and I think Wakefield's just such the perfect location for it. So much like Newburyport, where you have that retail on the bottom, you know, living above it. And then, I mean, even with the downtown, I don't know what's above some of these buildings, but I got to imagine they'd be perfect space for condos. And, again, I go back to the fact that you can go into Boston. You don't need a car. I mean, you could literally jump on a bus and go down to Oak Grove or walk to the commuter rail. And so many people are going the non-car route now. Same, the only thing that's frustrating about this, I don't know if you saw the article, it says Paul Rivas noted that the release of $985,000 would help. So I guess basically in 2014 or 2015, I can't find my place where I marked it, there was $985,000 put into the state budget specifically to help Wakefield. So close to $1 million. I'm just going to say $1 million for the easy math. But then Jay Ash said, and I want to get this quote right, because
I know what you're talking about because I saw it.
Ash cautioned. Let me see if I can find it. No, I got it. Ash cautioned that as influential as the legislative delegation is in getting things into the budget, there are billions of dollars that the legislature authorizes that never gets spent. So I don't understand. So here's what I don't understand. What's the point of having a budget and having an item in the budget if it's not going to be given to us? So, I mean, what's the point of getting $985,000? Yeah, 2014. This is a while ago. 2014, Senator Lewis, Representative Broder, and Representative Wong got $985,000 into the budget. And maybe this is a question we can ask. That should be expended for traffic mitigation, construction of pedestrian-oriented street layouts, Center Island, bicycle pathways, lighting, and sidewalk improvements to Main Street in the town of Wakefield. That's great news, but those funds have not been released. So I don't understand why, what's the holdup? I mean, if you're given a budget, you know, and you're supposed to send something and spend something in the budget, I'm not sure why the state would not release it. And actually, I would give credit to our town officials, you know, a guy like Steve Mayo, who I can imagine would be frustrated, because at the end, in the end, Senator Lewis asked Ash if we should consider going to the MassWorks program, and he thought that that would be something that could help downtown Wakefield. If I'm Steve, I would say, I mean, you still got to go for it. I mean, go wherever you had to jump through hoops, you jump through hoops. But if I'm Steve, I would be somewhat frustrated by the fact that, you know, I did all this work in 2014. I worked with my legislators, and I'm sure Paul, Donald, and Jason feel the same way. You know, we got something in the budget for close to $1 million, and then 2 years later, you're telling me, it probably isn't, you're probably not going to get it. There's always money that's not spent. Well, then what was the point of doing all that work? You know, I mean, if I'm Jason, Paul, and Donald, I'd be pretty upset that money's not spent. I mean, why put it in the budget? With that said, now the corollary to that is I do agree with his general point that you can spend, I mean, I always say this about parking, you can spend $1 million on parking, you can spend it on pipe pathways, you can spend it on anything you want, even the events. But it doesn't matter if you don't have people living downtown, you don't have the businesses, I mean downtown, because, you know, that's really how you get people. I mean, I can't tell you how many times my wife and I have walked downtown from our place. So, I mean, if you live close to downtown, that's how you get money. So I think Jay Ash's philosophy is generally right on, but what's frustrating is I can't believe there's $985,000 from 2 years ago that has not been spent for the town. So yeah, I mean, even Steve shares the quote, "It's our hope that after today's meeting, you," referring to Jay Ash, "will facilitate the release of those funds." So, yeah, I mean, that's, yeah, Housing and Economic Development, by the way, is the guy's title, Jay Ash. I knew that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's kind of frustrating. I wonder, I mean, I'm sure we'll talk to Steve at some point. You know, I know we have Dan Benjamin on next week, and then I got to reach out to Ann Santos about getting her on. But, you know, maybe for the third week, we should probably try to get Steve back on, because I think that's a very good question, maybe for the state reps as well. But I would imagine they're just as frustrated. I wonder how much this just points directly at the governor's office and says, you know, because, again, I just don't understand why those funds haven't been released if they're there in the budget.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. If it's something that was set upon and something that the legislators decided, that would definitely, you know, help out our town, and we've kind of taken the steps to show that we're viable in that regards, and by having that money put to our town, it would definitely help the infrastructure and just the overall look and feel. I don't understand, if it was set 2 years ago, why it wouldn't be released at this point. You know, if it was something, now I could understand if it, in granted, I'm not fully familiar with the way that budgeting can work in this regard. You'd be better at this than me, Anthony, but if they had, like, kind of put out in the open that, you know, the release of funds, you know, yes, it's $985,000 or $1 million, if $100,000 was released every year over 10 years or something to that effect, you know, like, then I'd kind of get, like, okay, that's, you know, you're kind of waiting 10 years for it to accumulate up so you can do everything all at once, or maybe every 2 years you're looking at, okay, we want to do this project for the sidewalks, then 2 years from there we want to do this project to help out the lighting downtown, and et cetera, you know, kind of doing it in that regards. But I don't see anything, at least within the articles, and I'd have to do a little more research in regards to that budget that kind of indicates that. It more seems to me that it was just, you know, $1 million to be bonded out to us, that, you know, that time frame.
That's right, man. I guess I don't. I mean, so I've never done, you know, statewide budgeting, but you know, budgeting whether it's a nonprofit or a business or whatnot. I mean, you create your budget, you make your educated guess of how much you think you're going to bring in and how much you think you're going to spend. But I guess the example would be if we had a contract, you know, if I had a client who gave me a contract and said, I'm going to pay you $1 million, and in return you started, you know, I mean, I guess you don't invest it, but you make plans on what you're going to do with that $1 million, and then the contract's reneged, I mean, you could sue, I mean, arguably. So I don't know what the holdup is. I don't know why that hasn't been released. But, I mean, I guess the only thing that would frustrate me is that it's in the budget. I mean, it'd be one thing if we're asking and they keep saying no, but it's like, no, we agreed to this. You're going to get this money, and then we just never get it. I mean, that's a much more frustrating scenario than what then the other. They're just saying, maybe you'll get it. I don't know. We're lobbying for it. It seems like there was a success in legislature, and then it just stalled, and I don't know why.
Yeah, I'm kind of baffled by it myself. I'm not really 100% sure as to why they would delay or, you know, what any holdup would be at this point if it's something that's been, you know, to be scheduled out and yet it hasn't happened. It doesn't make sense to me. But hopefully it's something that, you know, is taken care of in the next day. I mean, the sooner the better, obviously. But it's just something that, you know, needs to be worked on, and hopefully it's our legislators will take care of us and be able to understand that it's something that would definitely help out, you know, our downtown.
No, it's true. I completely agree with you on that. And then, you know, I don't know if we want to get right into the town election stuff, but I did want to mention, you know, I alluded to it a few seconds ago that we did talk to Ann and Dan, and they're going to agree to come on. So I think the only person we'd have to get before the end of April would be Phyllis, and then we'd have every selective candidate. So I think people should be on the lookout for that. And I think both those conversations will be good. I'm really interested in Dan's point of view. It's just because I think, you know, where Ann stands just because she has a record on most things. Peter was pretty clear. Tony was somewhat clear. I mean, kind of, you know, she was hesitant to commit to an override. But I'm curious, you know, Phyllis is always clear to speak against them, but I'm curious what it's going to be for Dan, because he's, you know, very active in town, very involved, but definitely, you know, represents a senior point of view. Even when he talks and when he had discussions with them, he seems to be more on the conservative side. So I'm really curious. I haven't had a conversation with him about an override or what he thinks. So I think that'll be a lot of fun.
Yeah, no, I think it'll be a good time having him on next week. And hopefully, I believe he said Monday or Tuesday of next week, if I'm correct. I could have March dates off.
No, it's the 28th and 29th, so it would be...
Oh, that's right. He pushed it back a week. So, you know, maybe we can reach out to our good friend Steve next week and see if he wants to come on, because I think might be a little bit quick. But, yeah, I mean, either one. You know, we have time to do either or. Yeah, it's not a big deal. It'll be interesting in regards to the upcoming election. And actually, it's interesting. We just got a message from our friend Evan on Facebook. he must be listening to the show live. So thanks for listening, Evan. Feel free to call in if you want. Let me get the number out for Evan, just because I don't have it off the top of my head. Evan, if you want to call in, 646-668-2523.
Wait, Evan Bunny?
Yeah, he actually he made a good point. I have two window tabs because I'm an idiot. But so let me go back. He basically is explaining that, you know, the bond bills are essentially a five-year wish list, and they don't mean anything in terms of funding unless the governor authorizes the actual release or appropriation of the bond bill in the line item. So it's, that's kind of a tough pill to swallow when you read it that way.
Anything can get into a bond bill, then that's ridiculous. Then that's no way to budget. I mean, then why even have it if it's just a wish list? I mean, it seems like just a cheap way to for legislators, and I'm not trying to take a shot at Paul or Donald or Jason here, but just then seems like a way for them to say, hey, we did something. you know, and then just to pass the buck to the governor. So, I mean, either, you know, again, Charlie's new, Governor Baker, I shouldn't just call him Charlie, Governor Baker's new, so it's either, he should either then veto all the bond, everything in a bond bill, or, you know, just pick what he's going to want to do. With that said, he's a relatively, you know, he's only been governor for, what, a year, if that's so. So he's got time.
Yeah, no, definitely does, and it'll be quite interesting to see if he actually moves forward with that in the next, if this is 2014 that the bond bill was created. So if it's 5 years, I mean, he has till 2019 to, you know, get things released and approved, or at least, you know, some sort of movement on there.
I was just going to say, in the scope of municipal governance, 5 years isn't that bad. I mean, to be honest, you know, if you look at it and say in 5 years we want to do X, Y, Z, you know, most strategic plans, most capital plans are 5 years. But it just, you know, it seems silly, though, if you're going to create a bill simply just to have it be a wish list. I mean, I think that's, again, and I'm sure, you know, that's exactly what it is. Just that seems unfair and seems an unreasonable way to try to, you know, unreasonable and unfair to the town administrator to try to then build a municipal budget off of that. But what are you going to do? Anyway.
So the other thing I know we kind of wanted to touch upon is, you know, something to do, not specific in regards to the selection or anything of that nature, but kind of going over political ethics. I know there's been some word about some stuff going on in town, if you will. I don't know how general or how specific we want to be. Anthony, if you want to kind of go into that a little bit, or...
Oh, are you talking about Greg Powers call? I'll just be blunt with it. In the community group, Powers, who's running as a write-in candidate, actually called out Evan. I thought Evan actually had a pretty good counterpoint saying, you know, it's kind of twofold. I get it. I see both points of view, but I think Evan's counterpoint to this was, listen, if you wanted to run, you know, you could have pulled papers at any time. And, you know, as a guy who challenged two incumbents and then challenged, you know, a sitting state rep, you know, incumbents don't scare me. And if you're going to run, you know, run. However, with that said, I do think it's fair to say, you know, would other people have run if they had known Evan wasn't running earlier? Yeah, I mean, I'm more curious, and I don't know his last name, so you can tell I haven't read the paper this week. RJ, I know it's his first name. No, I'm really, RJ, I think it's RJ Massey.
It's, RJ Massey is his name.
What's the only thing that's really interesting about this is, and, you know, and this is where I'd be much more curious, is if RJ Massey was planning on taking on Evan and Greg and Tom, you know, what was his challenge going to be, why he was different than Evan, Tom, and Greg? I mean, unless, and again, you can admit this because I used to say this all the time, I think I can do a better job, so I just challenged the incumbents. So did RJ sure. think he was? Did he think he was going to be doing a better job than Evan, Greg, and Tom? Which is fine. I mean, that's why you run. You think you're the best person out there, or is it the latter? Or is it that he did find out? You know, did Evan say, "Hey, you know, they're buddies. They could be buddies. I don't know. I'm friends on Facebook with everybody, so that's an unfair comparison." You know, or did he say, "Oh, you're not running. I'm going to go
sure.
and pull papers."
Sure.
if he got some sort of heads up, then that would be really unfair. I mean, that would be a point where people would say, I think that would rub people the wrong way. My guess and what I think happened, and, you know, my hope is that RJ was going to run anyway, and that he probably thought that he was the best candidate, which he showed if he's running, you know, and he was going to take on Greg, Evan, and Tom. And what ended up happening was, you know, Evan decided not to go forward. And I don't think I can blame him. I think, you know, A, getting your college degree, you know, working full time, and doing all those things are important. I mean, you got to, you know, if you can't, you know, I didn't run for a similar reason. I mean, I didn't run because we were looking at houses and I didn't know if I was going to be living in Wakefield, you know, and there was no way I could commit
sure.
to 3 years on the school committee and then not be
well,
it. So,
let me cut you off real quick, just because we do actually have a guest caller, and because I don't have a good enough phone screen on this system. Guest caller, you're on the air.
Hello, this is a mysterious guest caller. I guess your producer didn't screen us well enough.
Yeah, unfortunately,
Evan,
Good, how are you doing, Evan? Thank you for joining
good.
The show.
Evan, we actually have a listener who's not my mom. This is great.
Yeah. Oh my God. Yeah.
Yeah.
No,
hey.
It's so huge.
I saw Adam's Facebook post. So and I heard you talking about the bond bill. So which issue do you want to address first, bond bill or the tinfoil hat conspiracy theories?
No, let's go with it because we're talking. I mean, we'll work backwards. So that was the question. I mean, the question's mainly for RJ more than you, because I think I don't know if you heard what I was just saying, but I think you not running and the reasons you gave were legitimate. I didn't run for similar reasons. You know, I think the question people have is, you know, and it's a question for RJ, it's a question for anybody who challenges incumbents, is, you know, why are you running? And do you think you can do a better job than at the time when you pulled papers, Tom and Greg? Because here's where I think people would get upset, is if they were under the impression that he somehow got a heads up that you weren't running. Because then if that became the case, then people would say, well, wait a minute, you know, why announce later? Why not announce as soon as RJ found out? Which, again, I don't think is the case. And I'm sure, you know, you can tell us a little bit more what your line of thinking is.
Yeah, and so you're right, Anthony. It's really a matter of, you know, since I started my job in Amesbury, we've been we actually have city council meetings on the same night as our Wakefield school committee meeting. So I've been, you know, either missing a school committee meeting or missing a city council meeting, and neither of those options are really acceptable. At the same time, you know, there was talk of, well, you know, maybe we can make it work. I had people, some colleagues, some friends, some supporters in town saying, you can do it. It's not that much time. You know, you don't have to put in all that effort. Even 60% is good. And the reality was, you know, I think if I'm giving 60%, I'm not really doing the job the way I really should.
But you
there are a lot of people.
Really say, you have people in Wakefield saying that to you? I don't know who they
believe it or not, they're and I'm not telling. I'm not saying it's, you know,
yeah, don't say who,
they're not masses. We're talking about a handful of people. But you know how it is in town elections, a handful of people make a big difference. And really what it was, you know, it was people I trusted in town that said, you know, I think you can do it. You should really do it. But they also understood where I was coming from, which you articulated well, Anthony, which is, you know, I'm headed back to school probably next month, which is long overdue.
And that's awesome.
Yeah, thank you. And I don't know how awesome it's going to be when I got to balance, you know, work with school and everything else. But you know, it's I was on the fence. I've been on the fence. You know, I pulled papers really with the expectation of running, but with some uncertainty. And from, you know, January to March, whatever it was, 4th, you know, I was kind of back and forth. I went, you know, from 90% I'm not running to 90% I am running. I actually talked to a really trusted mentor on that Friday. I said, what do I do? You know, what would you do? And the answer was, you know, if you have 2-3 full-time jobs, you're not going to do any of them well. And that's really what it came down to for me. I mean, I'm really being dishonest with Wakefield, frankly, not to be cliche or corny, but I'm really being dishonest with, you know, the taxpayers, the parents, the teachers, the students of Wakefield. If I said I could really fully commit to this job over the next 3 years. And so, yeah, it was late. You know, I it would have been nice to make that decision earlier, sure. You know, it is what it is. I think I you know, being on the fence and really being – I was really leaning toward running up until really the last minute. So,
fair. If you come out, I mean, and you're basically saying, listen, it was a last minute decision. And no, I do have a question that I know you'll probably.
Just real quick, I'm going to let you guys, just so you know, we have like 15 seconds like on the air. It might give us an extra 30. So just keep talking. We'll just run through the show.
I was going to say, Evan, did the idea of a campaign So RJ pulls papers on Friday, did an idea of a campaign, kind of say, you know what, I just don't have time to do city council campaign. Like, did the idea of the campaign, like, if you didn't have to run, would you have stayed on? Like, for example, if you were going to get this fee.
You know, there's no idea that there's no doubt that that's part of it. You guys still there?
Yep, I'm still here.
Okay, yeah,
Adam.
There's no doubt that that's part of it. You know, a campaign is obviously more time consuming than an unopposed run. But ultimately, the questions that I had starting in January and before that were more about my ability to do the job, not just to show up to meetings and take votes, but to actually do the homework, to actually do the research to really make good decisions, the right decisions, ask the right questions and all that stuff. So, yeah, there's no doubt that a campaign, you know, factors in, but it really is more a matter of doing the job.
Well, let's do it, Adam, and I didn't know we're playing on the time. Evan, do you want to come on one night next week and we'll just, you know, shoot the breeze for whatever long we have?
No problem. And we'll get to the bond bill stuff then.
No, yeah, because I have no idea how that works, which I probably should.
All right. So I don't even know if we're recording at this point, but thanks for listening. Evan, we'll talk about next week. Appreciate you coming on to explain your issues and very well put. And, you know, kudos to you for going back to school. You know, it's obviously, you know, you got to do what you got to do. And, you know, you want to take care of yourself
That's
as well
true.
As, you know, make sure you're doing the right thing for the town. And, you know, I can definitely respect that and appreciate that, you know. So thank you for everything that you have done and for being on the school committee and actually, you know, being a civic advocate for that. That being said, if it's still recording, thank you for listening. Please join us next week. blogtalkradio.com/AP_course. Find us on Facebook, Twitter. Talk to you soon. And it's over. Thanks, guys. Bye.